Welcome to the Southside Community Church Podcast with Pastor Mark Hahn. We are located at 1815 South P Street in Elwood, Indiana. Visit us on Facebook. The link will be in the description below. Have a great day.
I'm going to read over here in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Now, what I want you to know is Isaiah wrote this, Isaiah the prophet, 700 years or more before Jesus Christ ever came. This is probably the closest and most accurate prophecy of what Jesus went through. So, chapter Isaiah 53, starting with the first verse here. He said, "Who had believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" The arm of the Lord means God's power. "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He had no form of comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. For he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone into his own way. And the Lord had laid on him," listen, "the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears as dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet," listen, "it pleased the Lord," that's God, "to bruise him, to put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see his travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many." Amen. "For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he had not poured out his soul," I'm sorry, "because he had poured out his soul unto death, he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercessions for the transgressor." Now, over in 52, the 14th verse, it says this. Isaiah said, "As many were astonished at thee, the visage, the physical appearance of Jesus was so marred more than any man for his form more than the sons of men. His face, his body, every part of him was so disfigured. You wouldn't even recognize him if you knew him before. Amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we pray, God, for your help. We surely need that, Lord, today. We realize, God, that we can't preach without your touch. And Lord, especially, I need grace this morning on a message like this. Please help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The key verses in this is verse 4, 5, and 6. It says here, surely he bore our griefs and he carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. Listen, but he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities. Amen. The transgression was all the laws of God that we broke. The sins that we committed. And iniquity is the moral gross sins that we've done. The immoral things. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Amen. And with his stripes we are healed. Praise God. We all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone his own way. Listen to this. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Amen. Praise God. In the last 2 days of Jesus' life, he met his disciples, and he told Peter, James, I think it was. He said, we got to prepare for the Passover. The Jewish Passover was getting ready to take place. That's where they went out and they took the finest lamb out of their flock to be the sacrifice for their sins. Amen. And that was passed down from Moses. Amen. And God accepted this. Amen. Because that was what God had told Moses to do, and the Jews followed that. Huh? All the way down to this time. And so anyways, they were going to have a Passover supper that we're going to do in communion service this morning. So anyway, Jesus had gathered them together, and he told where this place would be. There was a person that already had the bread and the wine set up. It was all set and ready. And Jesus got around the table. They were sitting around the table. And it says in the scripture, he said, I wanted to meet with you basically. Huh? Because after this time, I'm going to suffer. Amen. I'm going to suffer and go through so much. He didn't tell them what it was. Huh? But he said he would suffer and he would be betrayed and turned over into the hands of men. Huh? And so he gathered them together and he told them to take of this bread, huh, and break it, huh, and eat it, for it was his body. And then he told him to take and drink of the wine. This is going to be the blood that was shed for you. Amen. And the disciples, I know they didn't understand all this. Huh? But I want to tell you something this morning. Huh? They had that supper in the upper room. Now I want to tell you something. Huh? They left that place and Jesus headed for the Garden of Gethsemane. Amen. It was a hill. It was a mountain. Huh? I believe it was on the east side of Jerusalem. Huh? And it had all those olive trees and those beautiful plants were there. And Jesus would go there, huh, church? He would go there many times and pray, huh, and seek God's help and His guidance.
arrogance. And he would pray to God alone for the people, and the sins of the people and all of life's issue. Jesus prayed. Amen. And he was headed for the garden this time. It would be his last one. His last time he'd ever enter into the Garden of Gethsemane. Amen. And them beautiful olive trees was there, in that garden. And you know, the olive oil in Bible times was so demanding, so needed. They used it for everything. And down in that garden, down in that Gethsemane there, those olive trees, they would gather those olives, and they would put them in this press, and they would press them down, and squeeze all the oil out of them. They were round or whatever shape they was, and then when they got done, they were flat. And they would get that oil, extract that oil out of them. Jesus was going to go down there in that garden, and he was going to be crushed and smashed by the lotus. Did you hear me this morning? He went down in there, and I tell you what, Scripture says there was a brook called Kidron, if I can pronounce it right, the brook of Kidron. It was a little brook between Jerusalem, the city, and the Mount of Olives. And there was a little brook that ran across there, and they was going to have to cross it. And it said that water in the brook looked red. It had a reddish color and a reddish tint. It looked like blood. And the reason was of the sacrifices from the temple. All those years that the Jews sacrificed the lambs for the Passover, all that blood would run down the hill and drain into that brook. And you looked in there and the water was red. I want to tell you something. And Jesus stepped across it or stepped through it, whatever. And he looked down and he seen that blood, water there. And he knew soon that his own blood would be flowing through that little brook. Amen. But I want to tell you something this morning. Jesus knew everything that was going to happen to him. None of it was hid. He knew it all. He knew what he was going to go through. Amen. And they get down there in the garden. And Jesus, he's heavy. His heart's heavy. He knows what lies ahead. And he gets down there, and they stop at a certain place. And he called Peter and James and John. He said, I'm going to go here yonder and pray. And I want you three to go with me. I want you to come and pray with me. My heart is heavy. I'm broken. What's going to have to take place? Come on down and pray with me. The Scripture said they went about a stone's cast, or as you could probably throw a stone. And they went away. And Jesus prayed. And he prayed. He said, Lord, if it be possible, if there's any way, God, for the redemption of man's soul, listen, if there's another way, God, let it be. But if there's no other way to redeem men back to you, God, if there's no other plan but this one here, God, your will be done, not my will, Huh? He said, let this cup pass from me if it be possible. But he said, not my will, but thine be done. You know what? The first Adam in the garden said it was his will. His will was going to be done. In the last garden, Jesus said, your will is going to be done, Lord. Amen. What was in that cup that Jesus was going to drink out of? What was in the cup? Amen. I'll tell you what was in there. Huh? Your sins, my sins, and the sins of the whole world was in that cup. You hear me this morning? Huh? The sins of every sin, every awful thing that you can think about this morning was in that cup. Huh? Every murder, every rapist, every child molester, huh? Every homosexual acts, every perversion, everything that's evil, listen to me, is in that cup that Jesus had to drink. Huh? Amen? He died for everybody. Huh? And I know I know how I feel about some of this stuff. Huh? Take him and execute him. They're no good for society. Huh? That's how I feel sometimes, man, when I hear the stories of the evil that people do to other people, and especially little children. It breaks my heart, and it makes me so angry. Just go ahead and kill her. But Jesus had love. The child molester, huh? The rapist, the murderer can all be delivered. There's power in the blood of Christ. You hear me? See, because it's a sin, it's of evil that gets a hold of people's hearts and their minds that causes them to do this thing, the things they do. And it said, huh? That Jesus knew that. Huh? He knew what was in the cup. And he went a little further, the scripture said, and he fell on his face to the ground. He was under a heavy load. See, all the mental, I'm not talking about the physical pain, but all the mental, all a pain, the agony, the distress, of all the sins of the whole world were laid on him. Amen. And it said in the scripture that he sweat great drops of blood. Now this is a rare thing that happens. It can happen medically. Huh? But it only happens when someone is under so deep anguish and distress, that it will happen. But the blood, huh, somehow gets in, huh, to the sweat glands and into those blood vessels that are in those pores, and they fill up, they get so big and tight that they bust. And blood, he actually sweat drops of blood, huh, and fell down on his face. I want to tell you something. That was the starting of the shedding of blood for me and you. Amen. I know honestly, like I said, there's two messages here, but we ain't got time to do it. So we're going to cram it into one. But the garden, amen. I wrote this down. I want to share this with you. This is not my writing. Some other writer said this. He said Gethsemane was the vestibule of Calvary. The victory was won in the garden, and the price was paid at Calvary. Amen. Amen.
Do you understand something this morning? Jesus said, "No man taketh my life, but I lay it down of myself." Do you realize he could have called for 10 legions of angels, thousands of angels to come and deliver him? But he didn't do it. Why didn't he? Because he loved you and me this morning. Amen. He was going to pay the price for me and you. Praise God this morning. And then the soldiers came and got him. You know, Judas betrayed him. The soldiers came and got him. And they didn't know who he was. They came with clubs. Come there in the garden. Judas led him there. And they asked the question. They said, which one of you is Jesus? You know what happened? Jesus said, "I am. I'm Jesus." You know what happened to those soldiers? The scripture says they fell down on their face. He knocked them right over by no pushing, no touching, just his word. He said, "I'm Jesus. Who you're looking for." And they fell to the ground. And then they got back up and they asked him again the second time. And he said, "I'm Jesus. Let these others go. Let these others men go." And another part of the scripture said, when they went to grab Jesus' arm, see, they was going to grab his arms and put him together his wrist like this, and they was going to tie him up. See, he's a criminal to them. They was going to tie him up, and they started grabbing his arms, and Peter pulled out his sword. And I'm going to tell you something, he probably cut that guy's head off. And he swung that sword, I believe he ducked and got out of the way. But it cut off his ear. And his ear fell to the ground. I'm telling you the scriptures. You can read it. It's in there. I'm just repeating it. And Jesus rebuked him. Said, "He who lives by the sword will die by the sword." And Jesus reached down. Listen to me. He reached down and grabbed that guy's ear. That soldier's ear. And picked it up. And put it on the side of his head. And healed him right there in the spot. Amen. And they took him into the Jewish court. And they tried him. They had false witnesses set up for him. See, they never had nothing on him. So they got these liars together. And they paid them. No, the scripture didn't say that, but I know they did. They paid them to say things, but they couldn't find anything against him. They searched and searched and searched and couldn't find nothing. Then one of them stood up, which he was not one of them that I believe that was told what to say and tell the lies. He said, "But I remember this. I heard him out there preaching. They told me, he said and claimed that he was the Son of God." And boy, I tell you what, the great high priest stood up and slammed that gavel down. And he said, "We don't need nothing else." He's blaspheming. He's blaspheming the God of heaven. He's guilty. He's guilty. And then the guards came. You see, the Jews could not capital punish anybody. They were under Roman jurisdiction. So any death, anything, any criminal that was going to die, any execution, had to go to the Roman people, the Roman government. And Pilate was the governor at that time. I know I got to quit. I'm going to try to get through this. But anyway, they walked up there and they got him. See, he's standing right up front of them. They're all standing there, you know, they're all sitting down in their council seats. And they come down there and got him. Those guards did. And I want to tell you, friend, This is when the beating and the suffering started with Jesus Christ. Huh? The scripture said, that when they caught him and brought him out of the temple, out of the court, they said they grabbed him, probably by the hair of the head, they smacked him, they punched him, they spit in his face, they took the clubs and hit him on the head and probably other parts of his body. They grabbed him by the beard and pulled and plucked his beard out. That's in Isaiah 50 and 6 if you want to look at it. Think of that for just a minute. They beat him and punched him. And spit in his face all the way. To the Roman court. No wonder his face was barred up. That was part of it. And it said that they got him down to Pilate. Pilate wanted to get out of it. He also went to Herod. I don't want to get into all that. Herod sent him back to Pilate. But anyhow, Pilate didn't want him killed. He knew he was innocent. He knew that they had brought Jesus there for the enemy. They were jealous of Jesus. Jesus had a big following. Man, a lot of people believed him. A lot of people were converted. They seen the miracles that he did. They felt the Spirit of God upon him. They knew he was different. No man ever spake like him. That's what the scripture said. And they took him up to Pilate. Pilate tried to set him free. He said, I find nothing guilty for him to be held. And they could let a prisoner go at this time. And one of them that was in there was Barabbas. He was a murderer and a thief. He was up for execution. He was up to be killed. And Pilate gave him a choice. Which one do you want me to set free? Jesus or Barabbas? And he yelled out and said, free Barabbas, but crucify Christ. We want him crucified. And Pilate tried to settle everything down. And then when they got to a point, the crowds did, where it was out of control. He said, okay, that's what we'll do. We'll release Barabbas and Jesus will crucify him. So you know what he did? He sent him away to be scourged. That means whipped. So they took Jesus. Listen to me. I want you to get this. Suffering. They took him. There wasn't anybody more cruel and sick than Roman soldiers. The man that had done this to Jesus, they had to find one of the sickest minds to be able to do this to another human being. You hear me? So they took him down to this place where they done the beating, where they done the whipping. They stripped Jesus down and they tied him to a post where he could not get away. He was tied to that post and then they had the whip. I want to tell you what the whip was. In that whip was pieces of bone, pieces of metal, and pieces of sharp objects was embedded into that whip. Okay? So when they whipped their victim, not only did the whip hit it and press the skin and push in, when they whipped it back, it grabbed a hold of the flesh and tore it right open. You hear me? And they knew how to beat a man. Huh? They tied Jesus there and they beat him 26 times across the chest, or the back, on his back, ripped his skin right off. Some of us watch shows where they beat men and on the cowboys and stuff like that, huh? And we've seen the stripes on their backs and you've seen the scars later on, huh? But they whipped him 26 times on the back, ripped his skin wide open. Think of the pain for that just for a minute. Huh? Then they flipped him around, my friend, and give him 13 right across the chest. And I heard the other day, they said that these commentators studied this. And they said, I don't know if this is true, and it probably could be. They said there were two men that done this. One beat the upper part of the body, and one beat the lower part. He could have been beaten on the legs too. I don't know. Huh? But they beat him half to death. Listen, my friend, they knew how to hit a man and whip him to get down to almost hit the vital organs and stop. They knew how to whip it and bring it back. One more stripe, and it would kill him. 40 stripes, and a man's done. Huh? They give him 39. Huh? Because they want him to suffer to the T. Huh? They untied him. I know this is not a hallelujah service, but next Sunday's resurrection. Hallelujah! Praise God. They untied him. Huh? Put this scarlet robe on him. Huh? Because they're going to make fun of him. Because he said he's king of the Jews. They put this scarlet robe on him. And they made a crown embedded in thorns and placed it on his head. Huh? Here Jesus is. He could barely stand up. Huh? And they put this robe on him. And they put this crown on him. And they knelt down on their knees and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." Huh? To mock him and make fun of him. Huh? Then they were done. They grabbed a robe, stripped it off of him, took their clubs, listen to me, and beat that crown of thorns in his head. Huh? Pounded the thorns in his head. I want to tell you something. The writer said, so rich a crown. I want to tell you something. It's the richest crown that ever was. Amen. It was the most important crown ever given to man. See, they didn't know that. They had no idea about it. They done it to make fun of him. But I want to tell you something. The crown that Jesus wore was the crown of victory for our sins. It was the price that he paid for our sins. Huh? As they hammered those thorns in the top of his head. And they led him out to Calvary. They got him out of that hall. Huh? Opened the door to the outside. Huh? And when they opened the door, and he walked outside, there was a cross waiting for him. Huh? They built the cross. Huh? They built three that day. Two for two thieves and one for Jesus. And they took that cross and they laid it on his back. Listen. His raw, beaten back. That was like hamburger. Huh? That was torn to shreds. They laid it on his back.
my friend. Huh? And he carried it for a little while. Now I want you to know something. Jesus is human, just like you and me. Huh? So listen, when they start beating on him, my friend, and when he left the Jewish court, everywhere he went, he left a blood trail because he was bleeding all over. Huh? And he lost so much blood, he was in so much pain physically that the body could take. Yet he had all the emotions, huh, and the anguish of everybody's sin laying on him. You hear me? And he fell down. And he couldn't carry it. He couldn't carry it any further. And they had one named Simon. They said, hey, you take his cross and you're going to carry it up here. Once you carry it up here, you're going to lay it down right in front of this hole we got done right here in the ground. Huh? I want you to lay it right there. And that's exactly what he did. He carried it down there. The Romans set it down, laid it on that ground. Huh? And they took Jesus. Huh? And he laid him on that cross. Listen to me. I'm talking to you about a real thing that happened. Amen. You and I have experienced it. Those that are saved experience this redemption, what Jesus went through. Huh? And they laid him on that cross. Huh? And then the horizontal beam, the one that runs out like this, they took that hand, whether it was the right or the left one they started on first, didn't matter, they could have done them both at the same time. Regardless of what it was, huh? They drove those spikes through his hand. Huh? Think of the pain and the penetration. And I can't even imagine that. The suffering. Huh? Jesus surely hollered out. Huh? With the pain. I know I got to quit. With the pain. Huh? And then they took his legs and they crossed him and they put one foot on top of the other. Like that. Huh? We're talking spikes, like railroad spikes, kind of like the ones we got out there on that cross. And they laid them together and they drove that spike through both feet. Huh? He wasn't going anywhere. And it was said, I seen this the other day, heard it the other day. It said they knew where to drive those spikes in their victims, in Jesus. They drove them in a point in his hands and in his feet where it would hit that nerve, huh, that causes all the pain. Huh? They went through the nerve so it would be that much more torture. Huh? And then they stood it up. Dropped it in the hole. And I thought about this. Huh? And when they dropped it in the hole, there was a thud. And Matt, can you imagine the pain? It just shocked his body, what he went through. And Jesus was on the cross. And you know what the crowd did? They mocked him. And made fun of him. Huh? I want to tell you something. His face is marred more than any man. He's covered in blood. The wounds are just bleeding and dripping. And they're running. And the ones in his face and his chest are running down his body and his legs. And there's a puddle of blood at the bottom of the cross, my friend. Huh? And these people are mocking him. You're the Son of God. Come down from the cross and we'll believe you. He could come down from the cross 50 times, and they would have never believed him. Huh? We'll believe you. And he suffered the agony for me and you, for our sins. Huh? And about noon, Jesus
hung on the cross for 6 hours, from 9 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But about noon, something happened.
He got real dark. Are we getting ready to have an eclipse sometime here soon?
Huh? That's going to last for what? A few seconds? Not very long. Just a little bit.
Huh? God done his eclipse. And it lasted from noon to 3 o'clock.
In that area of the world and probably all over, I don't know. Huh? But the scripture said that the land become dark just like night.
Huh? And he was on that cross and he suffered. And suffered. There's a lot to get into that, and I'm not going to get into it.
Huh? I believe that he was in so much pain, so much suffering, huh? So much anguish,
huh? The divine Son of God.
It said that he cried out. Huh? That was his last words that Jesus ever said.
He cried out with a loud voice and said, "It's finished. It's over." Amen. What was finished? I want to tell you what was finished. The redemption plan that God had for man before the world was. Amen. Huh? He purchased our redemption. He saved us from our sin. He took all of our iniquities and transgressions and every bad thing and all the things that we ever done. Christ, God laid it on him. And the reason it was dark, because God had to turn his back on Jesus so he could take it. Whoa! All by himself. All by himself, he died for me and you, that he would redeem us and bring us back to him and give us eternal life. Saved our souls from an eternal hell. I told you last week, somebody's going to pay this price. It's either going to be Jesus or it's either going to be you. Somebody's going to pay for your sins. Amen. Cry, I'm so glad Jesus paid it all. I gotta quit. We're running out of time. I want to tell you something this morning. I know I'm nothing. And I know I can't preach. Huh? And give you the messages that you need to hear. Huh? I know I'm not that intelligent, but I want to tell you something this morning. Down in the depths of my soul, the more I think about it and the more I look at it, I tell you, the sweeter this salvation becomes. Amen. I tell you, it's a great thing. Huh? God spared not his own son. I know I missed a lot, but he laid on him the iniquity of us all. See here, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. I want to tell you something. Every time they come across with that whip and beat him on the back and on the chest, the scripture said, "And with his stripes, we were healed." You know what that means? That means our sin-sick soul. The sin that that we have done, the sin that controlled our lives, our minds, our habits, and all these things, my friend. Those stripes that they put on him, I'll tell you, it's what healed us from sin and its dominion over us. And changed our lives. Amen. And made us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Amen. It's the blood that cleanses from all sins. Amen. I told someone the other day, the only way into heaven, you're going to have to go through the blood of Christ. The only way into heaven is through Calvary. There's no other way. Jesus paid the price and suffered the death. Amen. That we would be set free. Whosoever believeth in me is not condemned. Amen. Praise God forever. This is real, people. Huh? If it wasn't, I would never come to church. Huh? I'd never be in this place. It wouldn't be nothing to me. Huh? But I experienced it. I know what it's like. I know what it is this morning. I know what the salvation plan is. Amen. And I'm so thankful for it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. Just remember. And then, you know, and I don't know how to say this. They don't want to quit. You know, the people say, how come? They say, why would God, why would a loving God, send anybody to hell? Huh? That don't make any sense. God don't send anybody to hell. They go by their choice. You hear me this morning? Like I told you, there's a price for it. Amen. And Christ paid the price with what I preached to you this morning. That's the receipt right there. Huh? That's the proof. Huh? The cross is the receipt. Huh? And the proof of what Jesus did. God has the receipt. He purchased mankind. Amen. With His Son. You know, you go down there, that receipt tells you the date, tells you what you bought. When you bought it, the date, time, huh? When you go down the store and buy something, it's proof that it's yours. Huh? You come back and if you have to take something back, right there's the proof. I bought this on such and such a date. And look in the thing, computer, bang, yep, it's yours. But God has the receipt. Huh? Where Jesus paid the price. Amen. I got a little bit sideways here. Huh? But I want to tell you something. Like I said last week, huh? Every person will give an account to this. Huh? What did they do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? That's simple preaching, church. It's just as simple as that. Because Christ paid the price, and that price was love. Huh? He loved us so much that He was willing to suffer and die for us. Amen.